This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Let's pray. Thanks for joining me. It is the privilege to pray with you and just to stop what we're doing. And I want to say thank you to Relevant for that, too, because when it comes to talk radio, I mean, does it make any sense to stop in the middle of a talk radio show and pray? Probably not, right? If you think about it from that perspective, it's kind of different, I guess would be a good word to use, right? But boy, do we see the fruit from this prayer. Unbelievable answered prayers, lots of miracles. And of course, you have always been so generous in our pledge drives, and you've just been such a wonderful prayer team, and I'm grateful for you, and I love being able to pray for you. This is a prayer that God wants. It's a prayer that he gave to St. Faustina, the first saint of the new millennium. He attached to it great promises, right? And it moves the heart of God. Just like the rosary, this chaplet is powerful. These are heaven-sent. They are heaven-sent. This prayer was given by the Lord. You know, it really was. And the Lord called it the chaplet, told St. Faustina how he wanted it, and so I often share with you, there's so many different promises associated with it. So let's trust that if the Lord wants it, he's going to respond to it. He's going to hear your prayers and pray with us. I'll share a couple of quick emails here. And if you want to send your prayer petitions to, you can always email me, Drew at Relevant Radio, or you can put them up on our Twitter account. Jake's going to share a couple Twitter intentions a little bit later today and in the decade. So I know I can only take five or six calls during the decade here, but during the chaplet. If you want to join us, the Twitter is at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally, too, at Drew Mariani. Love to have you there. But send us your prayer intentions, okay? We'll try to get them on the air if you don't get through here. This person writes to me, "Hey, dear Drew, we have a friend who tragically lost an adult daughter to breast cancer in September of 2001, and there's still great pain due to this. Their young child and his wife were blessed with a little boy 4 years ago, but they lost their next three pregnancies to miscarriage. So I listened to you, and I decided I'd pray the chaplet for them and may even have sent in a prayer request in terms of prayers. Well, I just want to let you know, as of this May, they let all their friends know that they're moving from out of town to upstate New York to be with their son. My wife and their new grandchild is due soon." She says, "Wow, what a lovely miracle and a happier life for this family. Thank you all for praying." And Rosemary signs off, "Never lose faith." And I love that. Never lose faith. I totally agree with you there, Rosemary. With God, all things are possible. His timing's not ours. I had another colleague here who was praying with me and said the same thing. There's a couple who lost a child, a very young child, to cancer. And for years, they couldn't have any more children. And they just have been praying for this. And in God's time, I think it was 5 years later, 6 years later, they just found out they're pregnant. You know, and they weren't trying. It was just an absolute gift from God. So God, his timing's perfect, and the way he gives us the gift of life, it's perfect. This person says, "Hey, for 2 days I've called in, but I never got off hold. Could you please pray for my marriage? My wife, Tina, pray for her that she'll come and reconcile our marriage. I love my wife with all my heart and soul, and I want her to come home deeply. Her 31-year-old has a mental illness and has convinced her to abandon our marriage. Drew, I need a miracle. Would you pray and have your listeners pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for my marriage? Thank you." And thank you, Chuck. We're praying for you right now. If you call in, I'm going to try to make sure that you get on the air, okay? Because I'm sure you have more to share. But we'll pray for your marriage. We'll lift you up right now. And I often say this. And this is final thought, and then we'll pray. You know, the Lord made a strong promise with this prayer that anything that we ask, anything we ask would be granted to us if it's in accordance to his divine will. And I believe without doubt that the Lord, he wants sacramental marriages, those sacramental marriages to stay united. I have no doubt that that's God's will. There's not an ounce of doubt. So let's pray for marriages that are in trouble today. Let's definitely do that. You know, let's pray for your kids to be freed from their addiction. God doesn't want addiction. He wants your kids free. He doesn't want them in the chains of that type of slavery. You know, there's so many things we have to pray for standing on that promise. And that's how I pray. I'm in the studio today with my colleague Chris. She comes from our accounting department. Your last chance, or last time praying with me, at least for a while. I know you just took another opportunity. Door's always open here for you, so please come back and pray.
Thank you.
Suzanne was in the studio with us. Was it earlier this week or was it last week?
Last
Thursday, and she got all choked up. It was her last time. So thank you for being here. Thank you for praying with us. Anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, something I've been personally praying for. Unborn mother and child care clinic is opening up in Appleton. The Vita next Thursday, they're having a grand opening. I just hope mothers go, people in need of that, just go and take advantage of that. So many people that really need that just need to go.
All right, we'll pray for that. It's Appleton, Wisconsin, of course. And thank you for doing that. Thanks for sharing that. We'll pray for all women in crisis pregnancies right now, especially. I want to pray for the healing of any woman who's made the mistake and instead of choosing life, made the mistake of an abortion. We just want you to know how much God loves you. You know, I know so often you're the hardest on yourself. And gentlemen, that goes for you too. So often you might have been an instrumental role in that. Or maybe you failed to be the support you should have been. Turn to God's mercy. It's unfathomable. And the greater the sinner, the greater the right we have to his mercy. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Our first call comes from Castlake, Minnesota. Hi, Dottie.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking my call, and thank you to all the intercessors. I'm praying today for a miracle. You asked, go big. I'm going to go big and ask for him. I have an 85-year-old sister that fell 2 days ago and hit her head, and she fell asleep and woke up with a hemorrhage, and so we had a airlifter to Fargo, Minnesota. So she's there in the hospital, still in a coma after 2 days. So we're praying for a miracle and that she has recovery with her speech, her memory, and everything that goes with that. But if the Lord does want her to take her now, then that please just do it and not days or months.
Yeah.
And we want to pray to save her soul.
All right, what a beautiful prayer. Dottie,
all you and the intercessors.
You know, I'm glad you got through. Thank you. And I know it's a tough time for you. It's so strange how life changes. You know, you fall and suddenly we're in this crisis. But, you know, I love your spirit because I believe in praying big. I often talk about holding out a big cup or a small cup. God fills them both, right? You know, Lord told St. Faustina, one of my favorite promises is that, you know, revelations, if you will, that the Lord told Faustina is that people don't know the scope of God's divine mercy. They don't know the scope of it. No mind, be it human or angelic, will ever be able to fathom it. Not through all eternity, Faustina writes in her diary. But he says, because we don't know, the Lord said, because most souls don't know the scope of his mercy, they don't pray for big enough things. So I love your prayer. You want to submit to God's will. If God's going to call her home, praise God. She'll enter a new reality and life begins for her. But so often we have loved ones that need miracles. And Lord, that's what I'm praying for right now. I pray for Dottie. I pray for her sister. I pray for those who have brain trauma, those who have strokes, those who are hemorrhaging right now, brain bleeds. And I pray for her, Lord, bring her out of this coma and restore her to health. Let her be a witness to the power of divine mercy. And I pray for all those right now who need real miracles in their life. They have to pray big. Lord, hear their prayers, please, as we turn to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I will go to Roseville, California next. Paula, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Thank you
for the beautiful gift that you sent me of your book of the Divine Mercy.
Praise God.
I'm calling with a really heavy heart. A couple hours ago, my sister-in-law called me and told me that her husband, my brother-in-law, Ed, passed away peacefully in his sleep. And I would like prayers for the happy repose of Ed's soul, and also prayers for his family, his wife and his daughter and his two sons and two grandchildren.
Wow. All right, Paula, we'll pray. I'm sorry for your loss, too, and your family's. Death is always so hard. It's so difficult. But I'm so grateful that you called in to pray this prayer, because this is a prayer really for the sick and for the dying. And so we often talk about God's outside of time. We can certainly pray. We don't know when God's going to call us home, whether we close our eyes for the last time or God calls us in an accident, tragedy. We don't know. But Lord, I pray right now for Paula. I pray for her brother-in-law, Ed. And I pray for the hour of our own death. Be our merciful Savior. And I thank you for the power of this prayer to transcend time. And I pray in those final hours, Lord, that you fill his soul with great grace and mercy, and that you met him as a merciful Savior. And today you allow him to enter into paradise. I pray for all the souls in purgatory, all those who have gone before us, all those now approaching their final moments, their final hours, their final days. I pray for those they leave behind. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. So before I take our next call, Jake has been monitoring Twitter. And as I said when I began, you can send us your petitions there. I know not everybody can get on the air here. So, Jake, I know I get a lot that come into my inbox here for the show, but what's happening on Twitter?
Some of the prayer intentions we'd like to pray for today, Drew, coming from Liz. Liz is like, hey, can you pray for me right now? She's struggling with vertigo and just struggling with the effects of that in her life. Bernadette is asking that we pray for her sobriety and also personal intentions in her heart. And also saw this, Drew. Last night, there was a seminarian at Seton Hall University who was struck by a car and killed in New York City.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, we need to pray for him and for his family right now.
I'm sitting here thinking about how much suffering there is for so many people.
Yeah.
You know, I take for granted the incredible gifts and blessings God has given me. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And I pray for those who are now facing this great tragedy, especially those intentions that have come in. We sneak Kathy in. She's listening in Philadelphia. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Could you please pray for my daughter?
Sure.
She's having an MRI of her head right now.
Okay. Kathy, we'll pray.
Could you see?
Sure. No, we'll be glad to pray. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, be at peace, okay? You have your whole family here. Her daughter, if you couldn't hear the intention, everyone. Claire is having an MRI today. I believe it has to deal with her head. So let's have confidence. God's our Father. He may send us trials, but He's a God of mercy, and He loves us beyond how much we love our own children. You know, just think about that. So, Lord, I place my trust in You. I give You these intentions. I invoke Your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer You the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Vanessa is listening in Dallas, Texas. Vanessa, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I want to pray for young people that have bought in to the lies of this age, for those with same-sex attraction and homosexuality, they don't want to get married or have kids, for those with New Age practices. And I want to pray for focus missionaries and people who want to work with that ministry in particular. Thank you.
Hey, Vanessa, thank you. What a beautiful intention. And I want to pray for focus missionaries. There's a door missionaries. I want to pray for all those that are really on the forefront there. And let's pray for the young. It's such a great intention. You know, we often pray for our own issues, but let's not forget those who really are in need of God's call. I mean, this next generation is growing up in a time very different than most of us grew up. So many different cultural challenges. We talk about it a lot here. And a lot of things that were once not considered normal are very much mainstream now, and so often they can lead you away from God. Lord, I pray for an enlightenment to come to the minds, a conviction to come to the hearts of all people in this country. They may know Your divine truth. We may follow Your law. I pray for those with same-sex attraction. I pray in a special way that they can find and be able to grow in great charity and sanctity and in their call in life. I pray for those with any sort of sexual disorientation. I want to pray for anyone right now that's addicted to pornography. I want to pray for anyone who's being unfaithful in their relationships or abusing their sexuality. And I pray for healing in that. I give You all of Vanessa's intentions, those united to Me, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer You the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Janice is listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Janice.
Hi. First, I want to thank you for that beautiful Divine Mercy book. I just love it.
I'm glad you got it. Thank you.
Yes, but I need a miracle also for my grandson, Aaron. He's 24 years old. He has autism. He's very high-functioning, but he has just flunked out of college for the second time and mostly just wants to stay in his room.
Yep.
He has severe social anxiety. He's probably suicidal. And also for my daughter, his mother, who is very distraught. I just would like him to be healed.
Yeah. I'm glad you called. You're not alone. I can't tell you how many people I know are going through exactly the same situation your grandson is going through. And so, Janice, let's pray right now, okay? And I want to pray for anyone who has anxiety disorders, anybody who has depression. I know somebody who goes through the same thing. One of my sister's kids, same thing, always in his room, struggling with anxiety, It's an epidemic today. Lord, I just give you Janice and every one of these intentions that she brought forward right now. I pray for anyone who has suicidal ideations, anyone who wants to harm themselves in any way. And I just ask for your mercy, Lord. Christ is the good physician. He's the good physician. And there is no disease that he cannot heal, no sin he can't remove, no trouble he cannot resolve. So let's pray for that now. I know we all have issues and concerns and prayers and needs and intentions. Lord, we give them to you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mykolenko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for praying with me. I'm praying for you, all right? Keep sending me your intentions. Send me especially your answered prayers.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All the issues, one place.
One place.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining me. Boy, lot to get into today. Let's talk Walt Disney. Let's talk critical race theory. Let's talk wokeness. I know you hear a lot of those terms. My wife said to me, we were talking about this over the weekend, and she says, you ought to do a show. And she seldomly pitches show ideas to me, right? But she said to me, you ought to do a show just defining terms. You know, I mean, the lexicon of today's culture has really expanded. Words have been redefined. There's all these new words that people are now using. So I thought, yeah, it's not a bad idea. I think I'll go ahead and definitely jump into that. And maybe in the day ahead or so, we'll do that. So if you have any words that you say, hey, why don't you address this? Maybe it's the word wokeness. You hear a lot of that. Send it off to me, and I'll be more than glad to go ahead and work it into that conversation that we're going to be having coming up here right now. But let me tell you what's going on here. And I think it's really important that we're aware of what's unfolding in the culture. The Walt Disney Company claims that their theme parks are supposed to be, of course, the happiest place on earth. Everybody goes to Disney, right? Everybody wants to take their kids to Disney. They're places you go to forget those everyday cares and go to a new reality, right? To escape the world for a little bit, have fun, have a great time. But the Disney Corporation, you know, they become even more eager to please a certain portion of their political spectrum in the country, and That portion, as you know, is the radical left. They saw this last year when they released some old films of their new streaming service, Disney Plus. And we've talked about this. Remember that? Disney Plus, it was a bizarre story. They came with the warnings in front of films that are classics. Right? I remember when I was a kid watching the movie Dumbo. Why do you have to have a warning in front of the movie Dumbo or the Aristocats or Lady and the Tramp or Peter Pan or the Jungle Book or Swiss Family Robinson, right? Even some episodes of the Muppet Show. You cannot access films with a child account. You can't do it. You can't do it with a child's account. And if you watch them on an adult's account, you get this warning. Let me share the warning with you quickly here, okay? I want you to know, because you may be totally unaware of this. Here's the warning you get. The program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of peoples or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. Let me stop on that because there's more to it. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge it as harmful and its impact. They're still going to let you see it. If you think it's harmful, and if you think it's going to have a negative impact on people, why are you running it? Why is, Swiss Family Robinson still running, or Dumbo, or The Lady and the Tramp, or Peter Pan? Get rid of it, right? You know why? Because they make money off of it. They're making money on it. This is a revenue stream. Are you kidding me? But they got to be woke. They got to be correct, right? So what do? Rather than remove the content, we want you to acknowledge it's harmful, We want you to learn from it and spark from it, We want you to spark conversations to create a more inclusive future together. Here's the final sentence. Disney is committed to creating stories with inspirational and aspirational themes that reflect the rich diversity of human experience around the globe. Well, it's not just limited to that. I'll tell you more. But let me share with you what journalist Christopher Ruffo, who basically has exposed how deep Disney wokeness has gotten, and it's pretty eye-opening. He talked to Tucker Carlson about this recently. Here's a little bit of that conversation. Listen.
Disney is encouraging book burning, telling us that that equality is wrong, that we're not all equal, and that some of our lives matter more than other lives. That is so dark. I wonder where they think that's going exactly. All lives don't matter. We're not equal. Like, what's the end point for this? Any indication?
Well, the great irony of this is that the people who are in charge of Disney are some of the richest and most powerful and privileged white males in the history of humanity. And they're pushing this divisive, critical race theory-based ideology as corporate dogma. And the only end of this is division, it's self-hatred. And I think it should be very clear that Disney makes its money on middle Americans who go to their theme parks, who buy their content. And those people should know that this corporation hates you, it hates your culture, and it hates the color of your skin. And I think Americans should reject this kind of politics and reject the companies that are pushing it.
So that was Christopher Ruffo at the Manhattan Institute, and he actually obtained an internal document, okay, just so you're aware of this. It's an internal document that details how Disney is teaching critical race theory to their employees, and it includes a 21-day racial equity and social justice challenge where participants learn about their white privilege, and then they're asked to fill out a white privilege checklist with options including I am white, I am heterosexual, I am a man, I still identify as the gender I was born in, I've never been raped, I don't rely on public transportation, I've never been called a terrorist. That's just one example, just one of the many that Ruffo found. Again, that was an internal document. One employee told him he dare not say anything because he knows there would be negative consequences if he did. So, Jake, you're telling me right now in my headset they took that down? Fill everyone in.
The latest I'm seeing from Christopher Ruffo on his Twitter is that he has said Walt Disney Company has removed its anti-racism program from the internal portal on the website. So when you click on the page, it just says, pardon our pixie dust. The site is currently under technical maintenance for approximately 72 hours. Please check back soon. Some people think they might just be doing maintenance. Other people are saying, yeah, it's a victory. They're trying to hide what they had.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Black Lives Matter, right? When they took off, they scrubbed their stuff about transgenderism and all of that. So I see it as a victory.
Yeah, they changed their landing page, which talked about what their ideology was all about because they got recall from it. Look, it goes back to the money for Disney. Move out of Georgia if the abortion heart bill went through.
Well, I think if it becomes law, it'll be very difficult to produce it. I rather doubt we will. I think many people who work for us will not want to work there, and we'll have to heed their wishes in that regard. Right now, we're watching it very carefully. I guess there's some speculation it could be enacted sometime after the first of the year. I think it's also likely to be challenged in the courts, and that could delay it. And we're being careful and cautious about it. But if it becomes law, I don't see how it's practical for us to continue to shoot there.
Yeah, coming up is one of my favorite guests, Dr. Carol Swain. Will be stopping by in a second. I want to share one final soundbite with you. This is on wokeness. I mean, look, this is not a conservative issue, right? Even progressive political consultant James Carville is calling it out. It's just bad for the country. It is. It divides. Does not unite. Does not heal. He was on CNN, and you know he says that now even some woke liberals, they're getting tired of wokeness.
The number of people that have contacted me or had people contact me after this has been enormously gratifying. Everybody just wanted this temperature to break. I think that I get time, people say they're woke and they're tired of being woke. People want to, after this pandemic and stuff, people want to go about their lives. They want to enjoy it. They want to enjoy their friends. They don't want to be nervous about how you address them or talk to them, anything. And, you know, that's just where people are. And people have gotten fired over this. But people have lost their jobs over retweeting academic research. I mean, time and time again, you hear this from everybody. And of course, people say, I don't want to say anything because I'll lose my job. Well, it so happens that I'm just at a point in life where there's nothing to cancel me from, so I don't care. Do what you want to do.
Again, that's progressive political consultant James Carville. Let's talk about it. You're more than welcome to join me, 888-914-9149. But I want to invite into the conversation for her very clarion perspective, Dr. Carol Swain. She's an American political scientist and a professor emeritus of political science and law at Vanderbilt University, a former television host. She joins us now. You can follow her. Look, she's written a couple books. You might want to read those. There's, I think, six of them. Her website, carolmswain.com. And I've got to get her other website. I'm sure she'll tell me. I think it's We the People. But let me bring her into the conversation here. Doctor, good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Yes, and my website is bethepeoplenews.com.
Be the People.
And I have a TV show, Conversations with Dr. Carol Swain, that's on that website as well as the Binge TV network.
All right, so it's bethepeoplenews.com, right, Doc? I'll put it down. So I'll try to remember that for next time. And again, last name, if you want to do a search for it, it's S-W-A-I-N, Swain. Okay, you can find it there. Thank you for being with us. I know you and I have talked about a lot of different issues over the months, of really the years now. Let's talk about critical race theory. That's one of those terms that people are hearing a lot of recently, and I think it's important to define what that is. Can you do that for us? Just describe what is now being taught, promoted, and maybe what critical race theory actually is.
Well, first of all, it's been around for a long time, since the 1970s. It started in law schools. I have been talking publicly about it for the past 4 years. And critical race theory is one of a number of different theories, and it argues that in the American context that you can divide our society between the oppressed and the oppressors. So it has Marxist roots. So instead of the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, it's the oppressors who are white people and the oppressed who are non-whites, and they argue that white people have privilege, they hold all the power, and they have set up a system that furthers their interests. They would also argue that racism is permanent and that the only way that white people can make amends for being an oppressor is that they have to consciously become anti-racist. And they become anti-racist by confessing that they themselves are racist, their ancestors are racist, and the system that they set up was a system that benefits them and oppresses other groups. So that's the part of the confession part. And to become anti-racist, they're supposed to challenge other white people and becoming woke. The wokeness comes when you recognize the racial discrimination and the injustice in society, and you actually become an activist on behalf of ending the racial discrimination against ethnic and racial minorities, especially blacks.
My guest today, Dr. Carl Swain, if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Doctor, it seems to be getting into just about everything we do today. We can't even go to the amusement park and get away from it. You heard what Disney was doing. Why is it that people are just so determined to make this seep into every aspect of culture? There doesn't seem to be a reprieve or, you know, any harbor for it.
Right. It's been there simmering below the surface. And I think that the George Floyd incident in the spring was the created the perfect storm for it to just escalate. And now it is in K-12 schools, it's in churches, it's in every institution of American society. And it is an added layer on top of affirmative action, because we know affirmative action was adopted, you know, in the late 60s, 1970s, to combat discrimination, to create more opportunities, to move us closer to a colorblind society. They reject colorblindness, equal opportunity. They favor equity, which is equal outcomes.
Right.
And pretty much the whole idea that you might have e pluribus unum out of many one, that oneness is rejected.
That's so true. So with this ideology or this mindset, what happens to a person's worldview when they see everything just in terms of race? This is the big issue today. I mean, more than recently, you know, in recent times, this seems to have really come to the fore. You know, you think back to the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, and you see where we are today, but boy, you would think that the country is incredibly, incredibly divided, and a person's value comes from the pigment of their skin. What happens to a person's worldview when we begin to look at everything through this lens?
Well, I would argue that critical race theory is itself racist, because it argues that white people have a property interest in their whiteness, and that the only way you can have a just society is if white people divest themselves of their whiteness. And everything is seen through the lens of race, with whites always being the oppressors and minorities being the victims. And it leads to a lot of bullying, shaming, and intimidation. And I would argue further that it runs counter to our civil rights laws that prohibit discrimination on the basis of race. I would argue that whites are the new victims of discrimination, and it runs counter to the Equal Protection Clause and just who we have historically been as a people. Even though we've been imperfect, most of us would agree that you don't shame and bully people because of something that's beyond their control, which is the color of their skin.
Yeah, that's so true. There's a movement I was reading about against what's called colorblindness, and it's just treating each other as human beings rather than as black or white or any other color. Why don't critical race theory proponents like this idea? I mean, what's wrong with that idea?
Well, I mean, they don't like the idea of merit either. And so they don't want equal opportunity and equity. They want more than equity, you know, that they want advantage. It's all about political power. And I would argue further that the progressives who are pushing critical race theory are Marxists, and many of them are white, and they're using racial and ethnic minorities and their suffering to further a political goal that's not even about equity. It's about political power. It's about the Marxist agenda. And at the end of the day, it has communist roots.
Yeah, well, I want to talk more about that. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we can pick it up maybe on that theme. If you want to join me, I only have the doctor for a few minutes in my next segment. So if you've got a question, a comment, an insight, you want to pull up a chair and join the conversation, it's always good to talk with you. Feel free to do that. Here's the number to get in. 888-914-9149. Put that in the speed dial and use it throughout the day. It's always good to talk with you. 888-914-9149.
Is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
I would argue that critical race theory is itself racist because it argues that white people have a property interest in their whiteness.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was the voice of my guest, Dr. Carl Swain. If you want to join us, we'll take your calls. We're talking about critical race theory. We're taking a look at the latest news breaking regarding Disney and so much more. And always good to have you with us. Doctor, let's go right to the phone. Well, before we do, I promised we'd follow up on the undercurrent that drives this. And you were mentioning Marxism and communism. What is driving that particular, you know, ideology? And are people concerned about where that leads? We know that any nation that has ever tried, communism has ended up a failed state. If that is true, if we apply this to the future of America, we're going to be a troubled nation. But your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, we should all be concerned about the anti-Americanism that in our educational system, we have progressives who are really pushing an agenda that serves our foreign enemies more than it serves us as a nation. And other nations like communist China, they would love to see America fall as a democratic republic. So there's more at stake than people realize. And I think that white people need to find their voices on this issue. They need to find their voices. Yeah. They need to speak for traditional American values and traditions and for our Constitution and our way of life, which is at stake.
All right, let me go to the phones. Let me sneak Richard in Los Angeles. Richard, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, you know, this is pretty scary, and I'd like to ask the doctor, what can we do, just us people out here, to try to combat this or go against it or push back on it? What can we do? Because we really don't want this in our country to take it over.
Yeah, amen to that. All right.
There are about 14 state legislatures around the country that have either passed legislation already banning critical race theory in public institutions, or they have legislation pending. And Chris Rufo at the Discovery Institute, he has a website that has a list of the states that have pending legislation. So one of the things that you can do to combat it is legislatively. The other is to gather information about what it is so that you can talk with others. I'm in the process of completing a book, Critical Race Theory, A Guide for the Perplexed, that I hope will be ready by July 1st. And I think you need to arm yourself with information, but realize that it's a different worldview, and they have a foothold in our country. And we really, it's now or never when it comes to fighting back.
All right. Mary is listening in Illinois. Final call for you, doctor. I know you got to run. Mary, good afternoon.
Oh, yes. Hi, Drew Mariani. Thank you for letting me speak today on your show. My name is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Go right ahead. It's good to have you here. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. I want to bring up an incident, and she's right. It all started with the death of George Floyd, which I'm sorry about that had to happen and everything, you know, because I'm not a racist and especially not my daughter. And she went to college in the major Catholic university in Chicago, but she paid for herself. Mm-hmm. And so that's not right. She's still paying off her loan. And anyway, what happened was when the summer happened with the riots, you know, they burned down part of the South Side of Chicago, the storefronts and, you know, all the looting that happened and stuff on Michigan Avenue and stuff. Well, she went down to the Inglewood neighborhood. And she's from the north side of Chicago in the Rogers Park. And so she went down there and she raised money, over $3,000 of her raising money to get supplies and things to clean up down in the Inglewood neighborhood. Not only did she do that, she went down there with the buckets and the mops to clean. She was supposed to go with her husband, right, but he couldn't make it, but she went down there to clean. When she went there, before they allowed her to help her, they had all the people there to help. Mm-hmm. They had them kneel on the sidewalk for minutes.
Wow.
See what it felt like, what George Floyd went through. Wow. When I, you know, she, you know, when she talked to me, you could see there was something in her voice, and she was so hurt. And I said to her, that, you know, my daughter, I said, you know, Stephanie, I said, I feel bad what happened to George Floyd. Everybody does. You know, people, when somebody dies, it's a terrible thing, no matter who they are, whether they're on drugs or not. Okay, right, this is a terrible thing. But I said, when you went down to help them, they had, you know, you went down to help me, you let out a helping hand, and you came with funds and money. And I said, they had no right to extract. I want justice for his family and for George Floyd. That's good that they seek it, and they deserve it. But they had no right to exact that justice from you.
Mary, thank you for your call. Dr. Swain's got to run real quickly. I want her to give you a final thought here as well. Mary, you heard Mary's call.
Yes.
Doctor, your thoughts on what happened.
The people are being manipulated all over the place. And when Black Lives Matter leaders demand that people say their names, well, that has to do with the religious leanings of one of the leaders who's into ancestor worship, and calling forth the names of the dead is a way they see to evoking spirit power. And so all of this stuff is much more complicated than most people realize. And I think that Americans must be united, and we have to push back and understand what we're dealing with.
Amen to that. Well, bethepeople.com. Doctor, thank you for your time. I know you got a busy day ahead of you. I'm grateful for being here. People want to follow you. That's the best way to connect, right?
Thank you. Yes.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thank you. It's Dr. Carol Swain. Again, you can check her out online, and a very simple way to do that is just go to her website, bethepeople.com, and you can get plugged into all the good work that she's doing. I always appreciate her clarity and her perspective on a lot of these issues. You know, when I think about this, it comes down to really one simple thing. It's deconstructing, if you will, the family. That's what this is all about. It's about elevating the power of the state. And we've talked about this in the past. That's what critical race theory really does. They pit us against each other based on race, right? I don't want that. I know you don't want that. You know, and look, it's not just the George Floyd incident. That was horrific. But you're taking a look at what Disney's doing, right? We found an internal document that has come to light in terms of what they are teaching their employees. Math, the last objective thing in education, right? In math, you're either right or wrong. The numbers don't lie. They're even using critical race theory to attack the fundamental truth. What we need to do, you know, is teach the truth about critical race theory. I think it's absolutely horrific. Jake, you and I were talking. I don't know. Do you have Disney Plus? You're a big movie guy.
Yeah.
You love that stuff. Did you get rid of that?
No. My wife, Kathy, and I still have it, but that's the question that I'm throwing out to you know, and the listeners, because I kind of go back and forth about this. Like, I love, you know, consuming media. You know, I love pop culture, but that line of, like, being in the world and not of the world, you know, consuming this stuff and not being consumed by it, where do we draw the line? You know, so that's sort of the question I'm asking myself is, you know, would getting rid of Disney Plus be an appropriate response to this? And, you know, a lot of my conscience tells me, yes, it would, you know, but I'll admit that it's a sacrifice because I love movies. So it's a difficult balance, and I struggle with that. So,
you know, I'm with you. It's tough. I know a lot of people feel the same way about Netflix. They love their Netflix, but you look at some of the stuff that they support. How do you change the culture? Because we can all do our part. That's a big sacrifice for you, though. Mm-hmm. I know. But here we are. We sit here and we talk about these issues. We talk about what Disney is doing.
Yeah.
You know, and It's just so frustrating.
Well, you know, I was talking to a friend about this in college. I remember, and I brought it up, and I said, you know, I really do feel like my calling is to, you know, follow pop culture, you know, and to integrate my Catholic faith into that.
Yep.
And she said to me something that I thought was very poignant. She said, I get that, but I do think as Catholics, we need to just step away. We need to take breaks from it. Because I think that's sort of the antidote then, so that we're not consumed by it and ultimately controlled by what we think, you know, we're trying to sanctify. So
Patrick was actually saying to me, you can do a couple things. Hey, Patrick, your idea of stepping away from the theme parks.
Yeah, theme parks, you know, could be one of those things where, let's say I'm going to California in July, for example, and I've been wanting to go to Disneyland, to go to Star Wars Land, but maybe, you know what, maybe not go to the theme park. That's probably an easier thing to do just because it's already costly. It's over like $100 anyway. So, but that's another thing that maybe just not go to the theme parks.
Well, you know, you think, what's my one, you know, account going to do, or my one ticket going to do? Will it make a difference? It will if we all... You know, make a difference. You know, I often say one candle, it can pierce the darkness, but a thousand candles can banish it. And we are facing a real darkness today. But I would also say, if you're going to do that, take the time and write. Send an email off and say, I'm not purchasing this ticket. I've disengaged my account. And here's why. I think if enough people did that, it would send a pretty loud message. All right, I got to take a short pause. News and headlines are straight ahead. You have another hour of me. Hope you can hang out. All right, be right back.